It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, here we go.
Welcome to the late night jazz hour here on 88.9 Community College Jazz Radio. Because if it's real jazz, it's really low on the dial and usually sponsored by a community college. If you either see it really low on the dial or you see it really high on the dial, but then it's mostly Kenny G, is what they call smooth jazz, which is also known as elevator music with some sunglasses on. But this is real jazz, because in real jazz, you smoked too much and you die early of lung cancer. And so, you can't be, like, you can never be above 92 if you're a real jazz station. You'll never be above 92 on FM. Like, you're 88, 89. Basically, you're nestled in amongst a lot of evangelical stations. It's a bunch of evangelical stations and then you alone. And so, that's clearly what this is. Alright, so...
Wow, that went on a lot longer than I expected it would.
Kind of like the podcast. Hello, and welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast that waits until after Thanksgiving to talk about Thanksgiving. That's probably true for almost every podcast, so that's probably a lie. But the only podcast that waits a week after Thanksgiving to talk about Thanksgiving. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 195.
Which is way too high on the dial. So it's been 2 weeks in our people time.
Because
for you guys, it's just been 1 week.
Pre-recorded our Thanksgiving episode.
I got compliments on that episode.
You did.
I got compliment on that episode.
Thanks for clarifying. Nobody commented on it, so I thought, well, maybe.
No, I got compliment.
Okay.
But I always think, and it doesn't happen very often, it's a really good sign when we talk about sex and you don't run away, because you only don't run away if it's an interesting conversation about it and not just goofy and crazy.
As I've often pointed out, it's when people start talking about personal sexual thing. I mean, I can talk about sex as a general topic and as a human behavioral thing, you know, but I don't want to hear about someone's personal
stuff. And as it was
stuff.
Pointed out, you did technically try and change the subject during the Thanksgiving episode, but
I
would not let you. That's
did
what
I
was heard. You know I don't listen to this. I don't
remember
that.
Who? You're not going to tell me who gave you the compliment?
No.
Why?
Because I'll tell you later.
Okay. Well, then you need to remember because I might not ask. But I want to say before I forget, that's an awesome shirt you've got there.
It's new. It is the fifth of my 5 new shirts.
It's nice.
I wore the other. Well, and the key thing to all of these is they are a size smaller than what I've been wearing.
No kidding.
Yeah. Yep, it finally got a little ridiculous. And I still kind of wear the bigger ones, but I was like, well, I've been saying, you know, I got to get smaller before I can get new shirts. And somebody said, well, get some holiday-themed ones. And I said, no. I'm not going to get too small that fast. But, like if I buy them, like, a year later, they might be too big. And then I was like, I can buy shirts that'll last a year.
I could do that.
That's a nice shirt, though.
And so I told...
surely last longer than
the producer. I would, no, but I mean, I might be too big. I might be too small for it.
Oh, I mean. I see what you mean.
And I was like, well, if they're going to be okay for like a year, because I don't lose weight real fast, I'm like, that should be fine. And so I told that to the producer. And by the end of that day, I had 5 new shirts on order coming to me.
That's nice.
This size. Yeah, this is a 4XLT. As opposed to almost all of my shirts have been 5XLT. I had 2, because when I lost... remember when I lost weight when I first got to diabetes?
Mm-hmm.
We tried on some 4XLTs that fit okay. And so I had those. And those were starting to look better now and less tight. And my 5Xs are starting to look kind of ridiculous. So we got me a bunch of these.
Very nice.
This is not my favorite. It's good, but I like some of the other ones better.
Okay, but you'll have to remember to tell me who complimented the podcast.
I will try and remember to remember.
I'm not surprised you got a compliment on it, because I talked almost none of it. So that means
that
it was
does help.
That means it was probably good.
So how was your Thanksgiving, William?
Well, you know, it's the same all the time. You know, my holidays are... I love them, and they interest me, but it doesn't make an interesting story. I mean, I don't even have any humorous anecdotes. Our holidays are very laid back, very nice and relaxing, fun to be around my family and stuff, but I don't really have anything that it would interest anyone else.
Vegetarian.
No, actually, nobody else is vegetarian besides me.
But you are.
Yeah.
And that is what makes it not a good story.
It's just the whole... everything good about it is that we get together, you know, we probably haven't seen each other for a month or so. And so, you know,
that's
all the good in it. There aren't any fancy stories to tell like you usually have. So why don't you just go ahead and talk about yours? Because you always have some story to tell about something.
Falsely impressed, but at the end I just sounded like a lame ghost. So sorry about that. I did. I was trying to go, fancy.
Just,
and
just
instead
go ahead
I was like,
talk about your holiday.
I'm going to murder you in your sleep. That's what ghosts say.
I guess. I don't know.
Twiglets in the back making noises. Unfortunately, he only makes that noise in one situation. Means he has his duck.
His what?
It means he has his duck.
Oh.
And... in polite company, we call it the love duck.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's interesting.
It is, since he's fixed, but, you know, yeah. But he likes for people to watch, so he makes noise to announce what's gonna go down. This is my life. Anyway, well, as you know, I went to Oregon for about a week.
Yes.
And it was pretty good. Saw a lot of people. Haven't seen in a while. My niece is now 13. And very much a teenager. But she came in... because we stayed in a condo, not my parents' house.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister and her husband stayed in my parents' house. And my brother stayed with us in the condo, but he didn't show up until... we were Wednesday to Wednesday, and he didn't show up until Sunday.
Hmm.
So until then, my niece stayed in the spare bedroom in the condo, because she thought that would be fun. And so we hung out and talked about all the stuff that people won't talk with the 13-year-old about. And so I think she thought that was cool.
Hmm.
And mostly anything that gets her away from her parents, she gets psyched about.
Sure.
So, ate some good food. Oh, kept to my point.
Good.
Kept to my point, which is not easy on Thanksgiving.
You expected it would be difficult.
And it was also not easy because I believe the other members of the family, not necessarily who are on Weight Watchers, but there are several that are attempting to lose weight and succeeding largely.
Succeeding largely?
Did you just call my family fat? Is that what you're saying?
No, I was confused by what you said.
I feel like you're mocking my family.
Succeeding largely seemed like a contradiction. That's all I'm saying.
But they all... up here, I mean, I don't really want to put words in their mouth. They all appear to have taken the tack of, this is a holiday, this is vacation, we're gonna skip this time and diet extra hard next week or whatever. And that was difficult for me because I very much decided not to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked like a total dork because the only way I could pull this off was to be really obsessive about recording it. And so as soon as we would finish eating, I would pull out my Kindle and be like, "How?" Also, the mobile device, the mobile website for Weight Watchers sucks. And I can't get the app on the Kindle, so I was stuck with the mobile, and it sucked. And I'll be honest, there may have been times I was a little looser in my estimation, because I was like, oh, it's a holiday, but only very tiny. I stuck to my points. I really did. And so I don't, but I also have no idea what my weight situation is, because I weigh myself on Monday, and on Monday I was halfway across the country and not near any scale, let alone the scale that I use.
Mm.
And so I just recorded it as having no weight change, and then we'll see what happens next Monday. But I'm really antsy.
Yeah.
The combination of it being Thanksgiving and 2 weeks long, I'm like, oh. Producer was like, you could weigh yourself today. I was like, no. No good comes of that. Like, either it's I've lost, but then by the time I actually get to Monday, like, something has changed. Because, you know, it can fluctuate so much, yeah. Just water weight and
no,
stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's right.
So then I'm like, then I just get devastated. Or it shows I didn't lose or maybe even gained, and then I just feel depressed for what may not be accurate by Monday. Mm. So, like, even if it went so far as to I gained a pound or two, I'll be okay with that. Because I think I did pretty well. The producer finally experienced tide pools.
Mm.
She never had. She always wanted to. Have you experienced tide pools?
No. Well, I mean, you know, like
at an aquarium or something, fake ones.
In movies or video or something.
Yeah,
know.
No, those don't. Real ones.
Real ones.
So yeah, we got to tide pools. And they looked pretty okay, and I was like, I'm not sure, there's a little stuff in here, but it's like, and then we saw them. What determines whether or not something's a legitimate tide pool?
Okay.
Anemones. If there are anemones, it's a real tide pool, and there were anemones.
Well, really? I mean, if there aren't any, it's not a...
In my
oh,
view.
Okay.
Well, for Oregon coast ones, I'll put it that
okay,
way.
Okay.
Like for at first we just saw mussels and I'm like, mussels. And then like if we had seen a hermit crab or something, yeah, but and either anemones are freaking everywhere or they're not there. And once you see them, you're like, okay, these are real tide pools. And there were a ton of them. We saw those. We saw a little tiny crab, was not a hermit crab, but there was a little crab and actually took photos. And when looking at the photos later, we saw there's like a sand flea in there also that we didn't notice at the time, but is very clear in the picture.
Mm.
Saw starfish from a bit away where they like to be sort of on undersides.
Mm.
So they were where the waves were still splashing and the tide wasn't low enough to like get out to them, but we could see them. And I discovered, cause this was an area that I spent a lot of time as a child, like wandering around these rocks. It's a part of the Oregon coast, town called Yahat. And I spent a lot of time there as a child climbing on these rocks, checking out tide pools, playing around, stuff like that. The instincts are still there. I mean, you know, I've got some numbness in my toes and I'm old and crap. And I have issues with balance. We went to the beach the day before and I was climbing over like river stones because it was right where a river comes out. And I had a hard time with my balance. But something about these, like I was like a friggin' mountain goat for about 10 minutes.
Oh.
The instincts are there. The endurance of a child is not.
I see.
I got so tired so fast and exhausted, went home and took a nap. It was really bad. But I could do it, and that was pretty kind of cool to discover. I was like, oh, this feels very familiar. Discovered a really good new beer that I had not. Breakside IPA. I need to track it down. Really good. Bu-bu-bu. Bu-bu-bu. Ate at a Peruvian restaurant. That was kind of fun.
Had you never eaten at a Peruvian?
No, one time we did. Hmm. There was one in Ames. When we were traveling, we ate at there.
Ames, Iowa?
Yes. Hmm. And this time, we get off the plane in Portland and go through the car rental thing, which is a pain in the ass. Not good to travel by air the day before Thanksgiving. Also not good to rent a car that day. Kind of busy. But so we did that, and I'm starving. And I'm like, I need food, and I need it quick. I don't really care beyond that. And so the producer goes to Yelp on her phone and finds the highest rated restaurants in Portland. The number one one... What was that? I apologize. TripAdvisor. She went to TripAdvisor. Not Yelp. Fuck those guys. TripAdvisor. And found the...
Are you making fun of me?
Constantly.
I don't think so.
With every fiber of my being, whether awake or asleep.
And you're going
on I'm going to go with yes. I love you. Anyway, TripAdvisor. And she finds the highest rated restaurants in town. And the number one rated was like an ice cream place. And so lunch, not so much. And number two was this Peruvian restaurant. Mm. So that's what she wanted. I don't think she gets cities.
What do you mean?
I mean... Portland is a metro area of like close to 2 million. Mm-hmm. And so it was maybe 14 miles away, but it was basically
about an hour to get there.
Traversing the entirety of Portland.
Yeah.
So it was not, it took a very long time.
Yeah.
And it was downtown. It was in the Pearl District of Portland, which is basically the gentrified district, like what used to be Skid Row, and it's now all these art galleries and gastro pubs and things, and grad students live there and shit, you know. hipsters live there. It's a really nice part of town. but it's like in the city, so parking is a thing, so we had to find parking. So the whole process took an incredibly long time. Added to the fact that everybody was taking a half day and trying to leave Portland. So traffic was way more bad than usual, which is not to say that it's ever good in Portland. So it took us a long-ass time to get there. That being said, it was very good. It was very good food. But yeah, so that took a bit of time. What other fun shit did we do? Hate plane travel. I really do.
Yeah, I don't even like it either.
Can't avoid it in some cases, but I try and avoid it when I can.
Yeah.
Such a mess. Saw my grandparents, my 99-year-old grandparents. That was weird.
Why was it weird?
Have you ever had aging grandparents such that, like, every time you're going to go visit them, they're like, now take your time, because it might be the last time.
Well.
But then that goes on for, like, a decade.
My grandparents never lived that far away, so it wasn't.
All right, so you don't have so much. But, like, Trish used to have this. She had a grandma with cancer, and so every Christmas was like, this might be grandma's last Christmas. Had, like, six of those. And that's the same thing with my grandparents. They're like, they're older now. Like, they might not recognize you. Been going on for years. And it's true. They're old. Every time they're a little shorter, a little more raisin looking. Last time my grandfather thought I was his son, I looked quite a bit like his son did at this age. I've always looked up. Basically, I look very similar to my uncle. All of this stuff. And it happens, and it's true, but it's not a big deal. I'm like, I get it. They're 99. You know? I get... Literally, the last conversation they have with anybody could be me talking to them right now. I mean, come on. This time, it was really a thing. And I can say this because I am confident my 99-year-old grandparents will never listen to this podcast. So it's like, you know, they're not going to be offended or anything. But grandma's really old. She recognized us, but we had the same 2-minute conversation like over and over and over and over and over again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And she's like 3 inches tall now. I mean, she's just tiny and barely functional. And my grandfather is far worse. My grandfather's gone. We went to see him because they don't live in the same place because he's over in the Alzheimer's ward.
Mm.
And my grandfather, I believe his entire words to me, or to all of us, were one time he said no, and one time he said, I don't, and then one time he said, what? And that was everything he said during our visit. Like, he didn't even think I was his son this time. He had no idea who I was.
Yeah.
And that's new. Last time he was still talking, and occasionally he'd fade out, and like even one time he looked at Bucho and was like, who are you? But this was far more so, and it was weird. And I've said before, I don't know if I've said on the podcast, like, everybody kind of just wants them to die now, including them, for really quite a few years. Like, at this point, they're not enjoying life, and they're kind of being a burden on others, and they're ready to be done, we're all ready to be done. This was a whole new sort of step that I, for once, was not prepared, because normally, they always say, oh, it'll be, and I'm like, yeah, it always is, but it's not, but this time was kind of a thing.
Hmm.
And that was weird. So, yeah, that was fun.
Well, you know, my dad's dad was killed in a tractor accident when I was 2. My mom's dad died of cancer when I was like 16. My dad's mom died of cancer. She was pretty old, but she didn't go through a period where her mind went or anything like that. That only happened with one grandparent. That was my mom's mom. She suffered from dementia, and there just was a time where you went to visit her, and she just wasn't there at all. Yeah. Except with dementia, they can, in the case of my grandmother, she could talk and do stuff. She just didn't know who we were.
She didn't know
where she was.
I've seen that with other.
So you could conceivably sit down and have a conversation with her. It wasn't a very good conversation. It was like talking to a 2-year-old, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. Who didn't know who you were.
Yeah, who had no idea who you were and wouldn't recognize you if you left the room for 2 seconds and came back in. And that was very odd. You know, it's when a person doesn't know you, you kind of have it in your head that maybe they're not very talkative or interact at all, but she was very, you could engage her, and yet she just didn't know anything about anything, and that was pretty rough. And it was hard to visit her because she didn't know you were visiting her. You know what I mean?
Yeah. She didn't know.
It didn't mean anything to her. You could be anybody walking in the room.
I do appreciate that there is more effort to sort of talk about this. Like, nowadays, when that happens, I would hope in most cases, I don't think it's me. Like, I take it less personal because I know of so many cases where this happened. But that hasn't always been the case. People talk about growing old or whatever and going nuts and things like that. But discussion of, like, the fact that this can be this is a specific condition that can result in this. I take some comfort in that because I was like, I don't take it personally. I clearly know. And it's not because I can see people questioning. They don't recognize, because sometimes they recognize you, but not you. And so then you want to go like, oh, was I not as important to them?
I guess.
And stuff.
I
could see people doing that. And I like that there's information out there about this kind of stuff because it is scary and weird.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, if.
I like to think it's not, hopefully, too scary and weird for them.
Yeah.
Because everybody's always like, oh, I don't want my mind to go. And I absolutely get that. But I'm not going to sit around and wait till the day when I can't do long division and say, oh, that's it, and shoot myself in the head. Like, it'll run whatever course it is. So mostly I can just hope that if I do go that path that I'm not unhappy when I'm doing it.
Well, you know, and Grandma seemed pretty thrilled with whatever. I mean, you know, she didn't seem like she was suffering or sad or anything. So, yeah. Which, I mean, you know, I can't say that for any of my other grandparents in the way they died. So, but yeah, it was, and I think that happened a little bit. We'd go and visit and she'd recognize one person, but not the other. But I don't remember anyone taking that personally.
That can be weird.
We were usually happy she recognized somebody because, you know, that meant, well, maybe, you know, we can talk about this, that, or the other thing, but.
There can be weird. I've known people with older relatives where it was a thing like they recognized all the women, but not the men, and were really kind of aggressive and confrontational with the men. And just
true.
Sort of along those lines and things. And it can manifest in so many ways, but.
But
I think
some
people do take it personally.
Well,
I think
guess
some
I
people
can see that. I don't
freak out a little bit because, well, it's just, well. I know I go to this well a lot, but of course that's because it's a huge thing in my life. But when my friend Jeff killed himself in high school,
And
I was the last person to talk to him, basically.
Yeah.
And we did not have a good conversation.
Yeah.
I was convinced, you know, I mean, I wasn't convinced he killed himself because of me. Like, you know, he had a life. Like, that one conversation does not suddenly change your life, you know.
Mm.
But I was convinced, or at least highly suspicious, that, you know, I pushed the last little bit. And so it's the same thing, you know, they don't recognize, you know, because they're sick. They have a disease. Of course, it doesn't mean they didn't love you. Yeah, but what if that means they loved my brother just a little more?
I guess. I mean, I think we just all realized it was a brain disease that had no rhyme or reason to it. You know, it's just.
Yeah. Well, and it depends on how it manifests. Sometimes it doesn't manifest in a way that you question that as much. But
yeah, I suppose.
I like that there's more to know about with it. I think it's obviously important towards treatment and potential cure, but I think it's also just good for families to know what's going on. My paternal grandfather, I met him once when I was too young to remember having met him. I've seen pictures, so I know I did. And other than that, I sort of didn't even remember he existed until he died and we inherited some stuff. I got a bike from him, and I was like, oh yeah, that guy. Because he was severely, severely estranged from, well, everyone, but my father in this case. And then my grandma, my paternal grandmother, I knew her. I liked her. I loved her. She was not necessarily a great mom and not necessarily a great person.
Mm.
So we didn't cut off any ties with her or anything, but I knew she was not super well-liked amongst my family, and as I got older, a combination of sort of adopting that because the people I knew and looked up to didn't like her, but also just I finally get old enough to sort of see.
Mm.
She's very sort of selfish and things like that. So when they died, it wasn't a lot of impact, and she actually had a husband who I always called Grandpa because he was the one who was around the whole time. But I barely remember him. So these were the grandparents that mattered for me. These were the grandparents that I went and stayed with. These are the grandparents that I saw at all the holidays and stuff like that. So it's weird, and there are issues there. You spend enough time, you'll come up with family dysfunction any place. There's definite stuff, but when I was a little kid, they were my grandparents, and I thought they did a good job as my grandparents at the time. And I mean, I see things, and there were instances and stuff, but the kid me liked them as grandparents, and therefore I have a good memory attached that way, you know. Whew. Heavy episode. I didn't watch any movies. Reading more stuff on lean production. I think I talked about that before.
Mm-hmm.
Getting way into that. Today was all about cultural change. A lot of talking about cultural change.
Yep.
Me, my boss, the stuff I sent you is about that.
Mm.
I sent you a link to. You familiar with an individual name of Cotter? Famous, I'm going to guess, sociologist?
Well, that sounds familiar.
You may recognize this stuff. My boss had asked me, and I was like, no, I don't. And she sent it to me, and I'm like, despite the fact that we're saying cultural change, this stuff is squarely sociological more than anthropological. It was very interesting. Mostly coming up in the context of work, because work is trying to make changes, and they're trying to make sort of fundamental cultural changes. But you and I talk about that kind of thing a lot, too.
Yep.
And it's interesting. The article I sent you is actually the what they perceive as the steps to elicit such a thing.
Hmm.
In a very, like, active sense. It's very interesting. And it makes me think, you know, trying to translate that kind of stuff into my workplace.
Well, look forward to seeing it. But I missed your email, so I haven't read it.
Yeah, I don't really know why I brought that up. I think I'm trying to distract from my old and dying grandparents. Maybe we should go to the hat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Still watching Wonder Woman. Almost done with season two.
We haven't watched anything since we've come back.
We liked the early, you know, the 40s version better, but...
Well, did they update in the second or the third season?
Second season.
So they really were like, we're out of swastikas.
Well, you know, they changed networks, too.
Oh.
And you know, the budget clearly went into the ditch because one thing you notice is all of their assignments, the first two assignments are somewhere in South America because, you know, she's in Washington, D.C.
Yes. Oh, but, so there's...
But they're swamp. Filming the show in California.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, wow, it's really suspicious how all of the assignments are like in South America, Mexico. Oh, they're going to L.A. twice in a row because, you know,
you
that's
go.
Where they shoot. Yeah. So they can't, I guess, find places in L.A. to shoot that look like D.C. or New York or anything like that.
You remember what I told you about Airwolf with that? It got one last season, but it had no budget and it had none of the original cast, so they had to come up with, I don't know, Cousins or something. But... Among other things, the budget was so slashed they didn't have the helicopter. So, first of all, the last season, the helicopter plays a much smaller role.
Yeah.
You know, Airwolf. but second of all, every time you see it, it's reused footage from
stock
earlier
footage,
seasons.
Yeah. Well, and there's
they couldn't ever
there
get
are things like that happening in the early shows, too. Like, oh, man, you guys, they did not give you any money. But it got better. But the interesting thing about it is that
she would have had long pants if the budget had allowed.
It kind of, the way the plots are, it's, well, she's like a spy, you know, for this agency.
Yeah.
She's like their main, she's like their best spy. And the show is...
I'm giving a skeptical look on my face. Wonder Woman is your best...
Well, no, Diana Prince is their best spy.
Well, yeah.
So you'll be
Wonder
watching
Woman
a show,
with glasses.
And Diana Prince goes and she does her spy thing, and she might get into a jam, she'll turn into Wonder Woman, get out of the jam, she'll turn back to... So, in this particular story... As far as the rest of the world's concerned, Wonder Woman didn't have anything to do with it.
Well, you'd hope so.
Well, it's
if
just...
anybody can start drawing connections, you know, every time we send Diana Prince on, the day gets saved by Wonder
well,
Woman.
Well, that's kind of what's interesting about it plot-wise.
And especially back in these days, homosexuality was much more frowned upon socially, so the idea that she has, like, a secret girlfriend that follows her around would have gotten her fired. That would have been terrible.
Yeah, it's really interesting, but we're still enjoying it. There were some, we don't like it as much as the first season, but the second season has some shows in it that are really terrible. But by and large, it's pretty fun.
In your satin tights, fighting for your rights.
Let's see.
Oh, by the way, on TV right now. Actually, it's probably over now. But before you came, when I was eating a very fast dinner. somebody was showing Year Without a Santa Claus.
Yeah.
For those of you who can't tell the difference between all the stupid stop-motion Christmas special titles, Year Without a Santa Claus is the one that has Cold Miser and Heat Miser.
Snow Miser.
Snow Miser and Heat Miser, yeah. Sorry. And
Mother Nature.
Well, and here's the thing. So, we go see Snow Miser.
Yeah.
Because we need snow. And he says, no problem, but you have to get permission from my stepbrother, Heat Miser. Yeah. Specifically says that. Yep. To do it, because we're doing it in the South.
That's right.
Go to Heat Miser. Heat Miser says, no problem if you give me total control of the North Pole. Which is really not a comparable. Like, he should have said, I want a heat wave in Greenland. Or, you know, something. Like, not I permanently get the North Pole. That's dumb.
Well, but he's a jerk. That's what,
yes, he is.
That's what he
does. He's a jerk. But, so, Mrs. Claus, who's running the show, I don't understand, because Santa Claus is going all Dr. Pole
sick.
On us. No, the reindeer's sick.
He's sick.
Is he also? Okay,
yeah, he's
I don't care.
He's going to have a holiday.
Yes.
Have we're you not to get watched stuff. This?
No, not since I was too little
this
to
care about
this is my
favorite one. I love
narratives.
This one.
No, my
I've
favorite
seen it a
one
times.
Is where all the fairies and the pagan gods get together to grant Santa Claus immortality. Ack the Great, that thing is awesome, where you find out Santa Claus was raised by lions. I am not making this shit up. It is awesome. Anyway, this thing, stupid, and here's why. Because, so we do this, and she says, going over your heads.
Well, first she calls.
Yeah, she calls on the phone.
Calls
and the
Snow Miser.
And
then
no
they have a little argument.
Re-
that's right.
Reached. And she says, I'm going over your heads.
Yeah.
And they're like, you wouldn't. No. Yes, I'm going to. Going over to Mother Nature.
Mother Nature, that's right.
Who's their mother.
Yeah.
Who they bitch about, who she likes best. Here's the thing. Back up. Said, I will do this. You got to get permission from my stepbrother.
Yeah.
Doesn't say half-brother.
No, stepbrother, that's right.
So one of them is not the biological child of Mother Nature.
Yes, that's right.
Do they establish which one?
No.
See, this is some bullshit here.
What do you mean?
I mean, we're dealing with mythic icons. We're essentially dealing with the power of cold and the power of heat.
Mm-hmm.
And they come from Mother Nature, except one of them's fucking adopted?
Well.
Yeah. Where? What paradigm is that, and which one is it? Try and make a case for either one.
Well, I always
or get... not even adopted, but brought in is her husband's
yeah,
kid.
Yeah, right.
Who's her husband?
Father Time, I think.
So
that's what I always guessed.
So
Father Time.
Which offspring has the genetic material from time, cold or heat?
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
It's not, because it's bullshit. It makes less sense than Santa Claus being raised by lions, which is way more awesome, also, in addition to making more sense. What the hell?
I think...
We just say half-brother, and we move the fuck on. It was a bad writing typo.
Well, they could just said brother. They didn't have to...
Also good.
But they picked stepbrother for a very specific reason, and I don't know why.
I don't think they do either.
I think Father Time's kid...
Also, who does the voice of Snow Miser? Because I'll tell you, during the song, it sounded like René Auberjonois, but I'm pretty sure he would have been too young at the
time.
No,
I don't think so.
But it totally sounded like him.
I think that would be Snow Miser awesome. Is Father Time's kid.
I think you think that for racist reasons. explain to me why you think that.
I don't know. I guess because, you know, space and time are the same thing. And cold is sort of an absence of heat. Well, you know, that's actually sort of a mistaken kind of idea. But, you know, you think of a...
Yeah, I'm like, you're
going
to piss off all of our hundreds of physicist listeners in a second.
Think of a star, right?
I'm thinking of a star.
Okay, a star.
Like a really famous person?
No, there's two...
Like a Kardashian?
There's two forces there.
Or like a pop star?
There's the explosive force inside the star.
Wait, back up. What kind of star?
You know, a star, like in the sky.
Oh,
and there's
the
fusion
sun, then.
Reaction going on inside that's explosive whenever. That'd be like the Heat Miser. But then what keeps the star from just blowing up? You know, it's mass and gravity sort of holds it together.
Oh, right.
So, like...
Are you high right now? It sounds like Totally, this sounds like a weed-induced
anyway.
Theory. No, I want to hear this out, because this is...
gravity is the curvature of space, space-time, and, you know, it's cold, space... You know, put it all together, it seems like, yeah, Snow Miser would be Time's offspring, and that would leave Heat Miser to be Mother Nature's offspring.
Because a star is nature... And the heat comes from the star, and the gravity is what stops nature from exploding, and gravity is cold.
Well, gravity is a curvature of space. Space-time is all one thing.
By commutative property, gravity is cold. And
cold, yeah. Space is cold. Gravity's cold. You know, it's...
You're high
it's not,
right now.
It's not a fully baked idea.
As a child,
you know, you're
at
just sort
Christmas
of,
Eve, you were high.
I'll bet there's even... an equation you could write out that would make all this make sense. The real question for me is, who are the other spouses? That's the real question. Like,
oh, who was the first marriages?
Well, yeah, like, who is Heat Miser's father? If I'm right, who's Heat Miser's father?
Miser's
and
father.
Who's Snow Miser's mom? That's those are the real questions to me.
I've heard that Heat Miser's father was just a drifter that Mother Nature met one night, and after too much strawberry wine, they found... fleeting comfort in each other's arms, but the next day he was gone, back on the road where his true love really lay, is what I heard.
You heard that?
Yes.
You're gonna be struck down.
I heard that Snow Miser's mom was just an alcoholic and died way early of
whatever.
Liver failure.
That's nice. You see what you did there? The father was kind of interesting, and the mom was a total loser.
I like to
that's
think
not
they
very,
were both
that's not fair.
Total losers.
That's not fair.
How is the drifter who abandoned her the next day not a total loser?
There's mystery there. You don't know if he's like, for all you know, he's a rich guy who decided he's going to pretend he's poor for a while, or he's a, you know,
he was a low
got
level,
another family
he was
somewhere
a low
else.
Level civil servant.
Some interesting story.
Who got
yeah,
fired?
You're just making that up now after the fact. Before
for
he was
gross
interesting
personal
and
hygiene,
but the mom
issues,
was like, you know,
and couldn't an find alcoholic. Another job. And no, but see, the mom was an alcoholic because she used to be a great actress, and eventually,
okay.
When talkies happened, her voice was hideous. And she couldn't ever get work again. And so she drove to drink. And then her charity work. Did I mention her charity
in
work?
In short.
Suffered.
You agree that who the other parents are is a more interesting thing to think about, really.
I really don't want to, but yeah, I will agree to that. I agree, again, that it just doesn't... It's I can't even say it's inconsistent. It's empty. It's got huge. There's huge gaps in your mythology here, is what I'm saying.
Well, I don't know.
Huge. Yeah,
obviously,
gaps.
I've thought about this a little bit because I really enjoy this. I really enjoy this show, and I noticed the whole stepbrother thing before, and I thought, hey, what does that mean? That means that only one of them is, you know, her biological son. So which one is it? And I sort of played around with ideas about which could be which. But I didn't really think
also,
it through in a way where I defend it like a dissertation
also,
or something.
Also, this is old shit here.
I
this is
even
old,
have brought it up.
Like, Dumont Network bullshit, which means there is absolutely no question that Mother Nature loves her biological son more. So I don't know why they're having this debate.
You think so, huh?
Back in those days, I think that's all the only message TV would have been capable of saying. You can never love someone else's child the way you love your own.
Well, if that's the case, then Snow Miser has to be her biological son.
Because
or at least
supposedly,
that's...
Snow Miser likes him
well,
better. Or, sorry, supposedly Mother Nature likes Snow Miser
well,
better.
Well, that was the accusation made by Heat Miser, yeah.
And Snow Miser, I think, concurred. In some
yeah,
fashion.
I suppose.
All right, so then,
although it is possible for someone to like a stepchild more than their own child, if they
it is, I just don't think it was possible in 1960s TV.
Oh, I think it's always been possible
in real life, but not on TV.
Okay,
TV had in the same way that it was impossible to get pregnant.
Fine. Well,
in
who
the
is
50s,
Heat Miser's parents then?
Heat Miser's dad is named Dale. He's a UPS driver, and he's a very sweaty guy.
Yeah.
Which, yeah. Kind of overweight. Doesn't get out much. Like, he does his job. He does fine. He's never been promoted, but...
Is Mother Nature still with this guy?
No.
Who is she still with? Either of them?
No, neither. She's way beyond this. She's an independent... She's a fiercely independent woman. And honestly, you know, played around a little bit with some lesbian affairs. Eventually decides she's better on her own. But, you know, she had to find out for herself. And those make for really interesting myths that are hot.
Okay.
But I'm not even going to go into those now.
You know, we have drawn something out of the hat.
I want to tell you about Dale.
I don't really care about Dale,
he's
honestly.
He's not a bad guy.
I'm sure he's great, but I don't...
He's never really done anything with his life.
Well, you know, that's subjective.
He was a father.
I mean, that's a big deal.
Yeah, but, I mean, they weren't even together for very long. And... He literally still lives in the same apartment that he rented when they separated.
You're being pretty judgy about Dale.
Well,
I mean, what's wrong with that? What is wrong with living in the same apartment?
I'm just saying
he's got a job.
He does.
He's a UPS driver. That's good.
He's a good guy. I mean, I certainly don't wish him any ill. I don't know. I mean.
You know, it's people like you that probably drove him apart. You know, going over to her house and saying, look, he's not good enough for you.
All I'm saying is he didn't even get visitation rights. So clearly the courts thought there was something.
Well, was it?
Please, I'm not that close to the family. I don't know the details.
Well, you
but
know.
But I do know, like, you know,
it was
every other weekend, Heat Miser's not going to that dinky apartment.
Probably the judge was being judgy. That's what I think.
Just because
he has a job that doesn't pay a lot, or, you know, he's not going to be home because he's driving the truck delivering everybody's packages. I just don't think it's fair that working people are treated like this.
In all honesty, a judge's job is to be judgy.
That's true, but not judgy like that judgy.
No, there's judgy and then there's judgy.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, well, and okay, and if I'm being totally fair to Dale here, that may have been a big turning point for him. He may have kind of just sort of spiraled since then.
I suppose.
So, but also, to be fair, Heat Miser's an asshole. So, in some ways, I feel like he dodged a bullet.
Dodged a bullet.
Yes, a very, very warm bullet. What were we talking about?
Well, we have this thing.
Yeah, you drew that out like a half hour ago. What's up?
Has anyone ever gotten time travel right? Asking about film stories or whatever. We've actually talked about this.
I don't know why I always love this topic. And nobody ever really gets it right. But that's the problem, is that it's so almost really impossible to get it right.
Well.
Especially since the fucking Large Hadron Collider.
The only way to get time travel right is to have very specific rules that are simple, that you don't have to sit there and spend half the story explaining, and then you stick with them.
Yeah.
As long as you do
as
long as you accomplish those two things, it's, you know, it's just as you pointed out. If someone tries to sit down and think they can work out time travel in a way that it's going to make sense because of how it really would be.
I'm going to put my mic over here because I'm tired of leaning.
You think you're going to have time travel the way it really would be, you're going to fail.
Yeah.
Because it's impossible.
Preach.
You have got to just decide for yourself what rules you're going to have. And as long as those rules make some semblance of sense and you stick with them, it'll work out. But don't think you're going to come up with this great theory of actual time travel and then you're going to stick to it because it will not work. It never works.
You think they can hear me breathing on the mic?
Probably.
I have a model of time travel that I like.
You've talked about it on the podcast,
I think.
But I don't recall. I don't recall all of its details.
Isn't
it something that you found in a role playing?
No, largely I like it from Gargoyles.
But oh, Gargoyles! That's right. That's right, Gargoyles.
But I still refined it a little bit, but. Ultimately, Well, first I'm going to talk. The kind that I like is essentially preordained. But in order to make it work, it's preordained with a complete absence of consciousness involved. So the universe knows what you've done, what decisions you made and will make, including any time travel related ones.
Right, right.
But I want to hold free will. So the universe in no way communicates this. So you don't ever get the shit of, if you know the future, then the future changes shit. None of that. It happens. So you still get to decide. The universe just already knows what you decided.
Yeah.
And the universe is not influencing your decision in any way. Especially not by telling you. Because what the fuck? But here's... I just had a flash of brilliance, so I'm going to go with this.
Okay.
All right, this is going to do the whole thing.
Go.
Because when we talk about the getting it right, or the sort of the best time travel... Well, here's the deal. In reality, the best time travel would be the one that actually works, if there is such a thing, and that'd be the one. So, there you go. I mean, because obviously we don't know the rules, but...
That's right.
If we assume time travel is possible.
Okay, assuming
time travel. Because otherwise we should stop talking about time travel.
That's right. Assuming it's possible.
It has rules, and it does a thing, and things happen.
Yep.
And that's the way, and we just don't know. We're not talking about that. I know it sounds like we were. But we're talking about it in a story.
And
we're talking about it
yes.
within a narrative.
That's right.
And
my point is, you might as well, if you're going to tell a story, just make it up. Don't try to be clever and...
Yeah. But I think there's a big informative pressure here. What is the narrative purpose of the time travel in your
absolutely.
Story? And I can give a wonderful example. There is a role-playing game called Feng Shui. And it's a sort of... It's sort of kung fu, sort of just sort of pop culture in a way. Martial arts sort of adventure and vaguely comedy based role playing game. I've never played it.
Okay.
But time travel features in this. And here's what happens.
Okay.
You can time travel to 4 specific time points. Whenever it was published is the present day, and then there's like 1983 and like 1951 or something, and like 2000 BC. I don't know. There's specific points. And it all travels at the same rate. So I'm here. I'm in, you know, May 2nd, the year 2000. Mm-hmm. And I travel back to the other point, which is October 13th, 1957.
Okay.
I spend 2 days there.
Mm-hmm.
So now it is October 15th, 1957.
Mm-hmm.
When I go back, it is now May 4th, 2000.
Okay.
So they're all moving at the same rate.
Gotcha.
And the point, the narrative point here, is to give you these cool different time periods to play in.
Mm-hmm.
And so that time travel system works perfectly, and it has a very easy internal consistency.
Mm-hmm.
In most other scenarios, that would be a shitty time travel to use. In most just like story
sure,
telling,
sure, right,
that would
right.
be a crap version of time travel, but it's exactly what they need for what they need.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's the answer, especially because often time travel is used for speculative purposes. And so you ask yourself, what do you need the time travel for? And then invent a time travel that fits with that thing, that mm-hmm. fits best, because you can go at cross purposes by coming up with the wrong time
yeah,
travel.
Yeah, that's right. Well,
Terminator sort of does this.
Of course,
it has trouble with its consistency, but Terminator kind of invented their time travel for the kind of movie they were making.
Right. Of course, sometimes time travel is the whole point. Like, you want to tell a story about time travel, and you want
yes.
to show how complicated it can be, or the dangers of it, or whatever.
And then you write Primer.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Which, again, in certain contexts... Some would say, including in the context of the movie Primer, that's a shitty time travel.
Well,
but it serves what appears to be the purpose of
yes,
it.
Yes, yes. again, I think it's very important to keep it simple and not try too hard to make it make sense in some universal or scientific way. Just like you said, what story is it you want to tell? And just kind of let it fit that, and it'll work. People will criticize it, probably. People will say things about it.
Which is hilarious, because like they know how time travel works.
But it won't matter, because people will enjoy the story because it all makes
sense. I do, however, think internal consistency is important. Because that is when I will criticize time travel mostly, is when I'm like, you establish this is a rule, and later you totally broke
that
rule.
You got to stick to it. You got to stick to your rules.
Another example, I've seen this in a few. Frequently, this seems to show up in horror movies, or at least thriller movies and stuff, is when you get into a weird cycle. Like, I talked about a movie I'd seen recently, I think, where they were in a cycle where they were, somebody was murdering other people, and he was murdering other people in part because they were finding out he was going to murder them, and so they were trying to stop him. And so, sort of in defense, he was murdered. And it became this cycle, and the time travel was never explicated, but that was a thing. At a certain point, they, like, saw the van go by and realized that's them earlier and stuff. And again, that time travel worked really well for what you were trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
The tension in there was, we're in this repeating cycle. Can we break out of it? How did we even get here? But it's a very Mobius strip kind of thing. In any other sort of story, it's terrible. Terrible time travel. So, again, I think, it depends on... you need to decide what you're using it for. And then build it. And insofar as if you're like, I just want to explore time travel. All right, do that as a thought experiment. And then at some point come up with some sort of plot.
And then
explicate your time travel to fit the plot.
Because
otherwise it just becomes a weird free writing exercise. I suppose people do that. Even people that we would think did shitty jobs on their time travel. Bill and Ted, you know. But it's still the same thing. They use the time travel as an excuse to pull a guy in with a toga. I mean, like, their needs were very broad and very uncomplicated. And they were like, fuck it,
right.
It'll be a phone booth. That'll be good.
Well, you know, there were no paradoxes or anything.
I shouldn't
like that
make fun of phone booths and time travel.
Why?
Doctor Who.
Oh. It's... As far as I can tell, whenever anyone makes a mistake with time travel, it's because they overthink it, and then they, and typically what goes right along with that is they don't follow their own rules, and it just doesn't make
sense. Although, bringing up Doctor Who, there is a way around that.
What's that?
We've said make them very simple and stick to them.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a way around it. Make them very not simple and don't go into it. Doctor Who is frequently doing shit when they're basically like, okay, listen, time travel is complicated, and yes, in general, this is the rule, which is why you've seen us do this, but sometimes it's not. Well, how is it not like that? Okay, it's really complicated.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm not sure I could explain it to me, let alone you. Just, it happens sometimes. And some people are going to find that an unsatisfying explanation, but it totally works, because you know what? It kind of makes sense that alien time travel might be too complicated for me to get in its entirety.
So
especially in an hour-long
TV
show.
So when it's explained to me, there's a lot of shortcuts that are made, and then so I shouldn't be surprised later if those shortcuts aren't actually shortcuts. They're
And you have to own it. Up front, you have to own, this is complicated, I'm sort of dumbing it down. Which I think they say.
Yeah, you can kind of get around it like that.
I guess. To a certain degree, the horror movie thing I was talking about sort of does that. It's like there's obviously more going on here, but that's not the point of the story, so we're not going to tell you.
That's making something so complicated to become simple again, really, because it becomes, well, like you said, for the horror movie one, there's this sense of the supernatural, you know, so it doesn't have to make sense, and you've kind of got that
and
sense.
And honestly,
there,
not answering it is part of the narrative device. They want one that can't be explained. But at that point, you start dealing conceptually.
Right.
Like, blah, 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 blah. The point is, we want to time travel.
I don't know. But in the horror movie, what you're really doing is you're saying magic. I mean, you know. That's a very simple answer.
A wizard did it.
And, well, and that's the same thing for Doctor Who. It's just, yes, it seems like magic to you, yes, because I'm so advanced, you know,
and
that whole quote about
and we do make it a
science,
yeah,
like magic.
Arthur Clarke thing. Yeah. We do make it a thing because we still, not only do we want it to be able to go different places and different times, we also want it to be a thing with which we can have influence and agency, because sometimes that is our narrative as well. We can affect time. We can control time. What does that mean? What are the consequences of that? What do we need to consider?
Right.
How can that be abused and used?
Right.
All of those are the concepts. We still don't have to fill in the fine print to deal with it. We can tell you enough to understand these are, we can do these things. Now let's do a story talking about whether what that means.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to tell you how the neutrinos line up, you know, what reversing the polarity does. Reversing. Do you know, I bought into reversing the polarity all the way until the first day somebody made a joke about that, which I was probably like in college or some shit. Like, it never occurred to me that every goddamn science fiction thing ever reversed polarity.
Mm-hmm.
I was raised on fucking Next Generation Technobabble.
Yeah, yeah.
So reversing the polarity and moving to a secondary coupling and rerouting, these were things that in my mind were just solid. Like, that's science. Like, I could do that. That would fit any circumstance. Like, is your car gonna, like, are the brakes gone? Well, reverse the polarity. In fact, if it's bad brakes, that'll probably do it right there.
Yep.
Oh, reverse the polarity. Okay, we are over time. This has been a bumpy ride tonight.
Yeah,
I don't even know.
Kind of.
Dying relatives and, what was in the, oh, and this. Year without Santa Claus.
Family situation. It never caused me.
Time travel.
It never caused me the consternation that it caused you. He was a stepbrother. Okay, well, you know. So there's different dads going on here. That's cool. Whatever.
I feel what my favorite version of this, if I stay within the continuity of the story, rather than I just think the writer's fucked up, which is really what I think it is. In my version, nobody ever explained to them what stepbrother means. So whoever's adopted has no idea, even though they know the other dude's his stepbrother.
No. They think it means, because of all the fairy tales and stuff they've read, they think it means the sibling I don't like.
There we go. They each think the other one's the wicked one, you know?
Right.
None of them. That's the sequel I want, where it's like,
stepbrother means what?
Yeah, the clauses come to support, and they all gather around Heat Miser, and they're like, we've come to tell you, you're adopted, and no one likes you. And we're pretty sure you knew that second part. But you're also adopted. Okay, we gotta wrap this up, people. Right into the hat, please. I didn't explain how this show works.
No, you didn't.
It seems fitting. right into the hat, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook, cause reasons. Go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and talk. I know it's the holidays, people are skipping out, but Jazz, you're behind on your comments. Fix that. A lot of people are behind. It's the holidays, I get that. Step it up, people. Some of you don't even celebrate, Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, or, Decemberween. Remember Decemberween?
Yes.
Yeah, Decemberween's awesome. So get on that and tune in again next week. And good night, and you're all adopted. The only podcast in the world where every listener is adopted.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat at gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.